Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today. Use promo code THEGAME. A little bit of a delayed start here, because all of a sudden, when you become the suit, you just take up all the air.
I guess. Time, don't
you? All of a sudden, Barry Trotz becomes general manager. He just takes – I am kidding.
No, thank you for understanding. He got caught up this morning, but really wanted to get him on pre-draft because I know next week's going to be crazy.
Next week is going to be crazy. And Chase, good get on getting Barry Trotz, yeah, getting his mindset going into the NHL draft in Nashville next week. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day outside. No more rain, hopefully.
It is a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Beautiful
race day. Cars don't like rain, yes. And that's where I'm going to be all weekend, so I'm going to need the rain to go away.
Reporter Nick is here as well. How are we doing, Nick?
I'm doing well. Was glad to tag along with Chaser this morning. Good stuff from Barry Trotz. And Derek, hopefully all the bullets out there on the track stay dry, right?
Yes, absolutely. You got to. The bullet. But you know what? The bullet operated well in the rain, you know?
Dramatic effect, right?
Yes.
I feel like the bullet could withstand, you know, crazy conditions.
It didn't matter.
Like,
I think you could send the bullet down
to see the Titanic, and the bullet probably could have stood the pressure.
I think we drove through a tornado one day.
Is the bullet your car?
Yeah, the bullet is the car. You ain't heard the story about the bullet?
I have not heard the story about the bullet.
Oh, wow, Chase.
I've worked with you a long time. I'm surprised I haven't heard the story.
I've mentioned the bullet, like, several times, you know? R.I.P. Bullet, you know.
So that was your...
That was my car. That was my college car, man.
Oh,
yeah, for 2 years, but, you know, sadly, we came out one day in the parking lot. It was the winter of, 97? Yeah, it was the winter of 97. We came out. No, winter of 96. We came out, and... My buddy was looking for, because we had two cars, because his mom gave him another one. And that one wouldn't start. So he went and looked for the bullet. And I was upstairs asleep. I was in the apartment asleep. He was going to class. He came back upstairs and said, "Mace, did you move the bullet?" It's like, "No, I ain't moved." We had drove the bullet in months. So I put on my clothes. Man, we scoured the whole complex.
Somebody stole the bullet.
Somebody stole the bullet, man.
R.I.P. to the
bullet. Did you ever find it?
No, never found a bullet, man. Never found a bullet.
So you said you hadn't driven it in months. Are you sure that it just didn't get towed?
No, it didn't get towed because it was in our apartment complex.
Okay.
And we would go start it up.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, but somebody stole the bullet.
Now, one theory is that Jared Stillman stole it. Remember that?
Yeah, Jared.
What are you, like, eight?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's Jared.
Yeah.
It's Jared, yeah.
I'm sure he was loud and obnoxious then, but, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know if he's
Jared
committing
went from
Grand
Nashville
Theft Auto.
To East Lansing just to take Derek's bullet.
We think somebody painted the bullet and still driving it to this day.
That legend has it.
Yeah.
The bullet is still alive today.
That has been seen in several different places in Okemos.
Now, Derek, when I think of the bullet, I think of it being like this, like, dark green, white racing stripes. But what does it look like?
It was blue. It was almost like a Lions blue, Detroit Lions blue. And it was a hatchback Ford Escort. And it was a stick shift. And at first, when we first got it, I was the only person that knew how to drive a stick shift. My college roommate didn't. My boy didn't. So I would have to drive him everywhere for the first, I don't know, couple months. And then one day he was like, "Man, I'm just going to go and figure it out." So he went in the parking lot and he figured it out. That's how I had to figure it out. My brother was like, I wanted to drive my brother's car one day and to go pick up the girl I was dating at the time in high school.
My man.
And he was like, "Listen, I'm not taking you over there." He threw me the keys and was like, "Go for it." I was like, "Are you serious?" Like, yeah. That's how he learned. So she lived, from my brother at the time, she lived maybe 10 minutes away. It took me almost an hour to get to her house because the car was just jerking. It was just jerking. And stop and going. But I finally figured it out. And away I went.
Didn't burn the clutch out either.
Didn't burn the clutch
I wish out. Everybody could have seen the look that Caroline just gave me with my man comment. That was some side eye right there.
It was a bombastic side eye.
Goodness.
All right, well, let's get into it because the suit is sticking around with us for a little bit to react to what he heard from Barry Trotz just now. And I want to hear your takeaways, what you thought about where Barry Trotz's head is at going into the NHL draft. But one thing that really, really stood out to me is the fact that he reiterated, and this isn't the first time that we've heard this from Barry Trotz, the fact that he continues to reiterate that the fan base should be patient with the team.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to take a few steps back to take leaps and bounds forward. He said, there's going to be a little bit of pain. Like, I'm aware of that. Andrew Brunette's aware of that. I want you all to be aware of that. And I think that's the position that this team is in or needs to be in, is it's okay to take a couple steps back, to take steps forward. That's what at least I have been wanting this team to do. As currently constructed, or before it was at the trade deadline, I didn't think that team was going anywhere. So it's okay to take a step back. It's okay for the general manager to set the expectation of, it might not be very pretty for a little bit. I think that we all can understand that. And I think fans can be okay with that. As long as the vision and the plan, what's the plan? As long as the vision and the plan is, this is what we have to do to get better.
Yeah.
I think we can all get on board with that. And that was refreshing for me to hear.
100%. He even referenced the fan base saying that they wanted the change. I mean, that was, you know, so I mean, he's very well aware of it. What I think is interesting in all of this is that he's setting everybody up for, hey, we might take a few steps back, but he also knows how this league works and that, you know, there could be an unexpected move that takes place, and therefore they're in a better spot than maybe they thought they were going to be in. I mean, there could be a team that calls him and says, hey, you know, I don't want to get rid of this player, but I have to. I don't have the cap room. You know, can we work something out? He's got 13 draft picks to work with that, you know, I reference as currency. That's exactly what they are. And next thing you know, you're getting a 30 to 40 goal scorer on your team that you didn't expect to have, you know, a day earlier. So while also using those draft picks to plan for the future. So I don't think he's going to do anything, you know, that's going to break the bank or anything like that. But if there is a move that he can make that, you know, might help this team right now, but also for the future, then I think he's going to do it. And so I think he's setting everybody up for whatever might happen. But I could see this being a pretty crazy few weeks just because of the landscape of the league.
Well, yeah, and you know, what I gathered from it, he's not going to be afraid to take chances.
Right.
He even said, listen, we're not going to play it safe with players. I'm asking my coaches not to play it safe with players. If you see a guy out there that has the talent, that has the potential, but is rough around the edges, then let's go ahead and make that pick or get that guy. And then we'll work around the things that he needs to get better at. But if we see that he has a particular skill that can help our team and the potential to build on that, then let's not play it safe.
Yeah.
We're not in the business to play it safe right now.
Swing.
We're not a team that's in a mode of rebuilding, you know, because this is a team that hasn't torn everything down to the studs. We're still a team that is capable of winning. So we want to add guys that can help us do that. And we may have to take chances on an individual. And I think that's where the be patient comes in.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking chances – that one or two of those guys may not work out. And what do we see typically when that happens? Fan base, oh, that was a bust. You know, get the guy out of here, yada, yada. But he's telling you right now, these are things we're going to do. We're not going to be afraid to do because we believe in our coaching staff, the scouts, that we will have more hits than misses.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. Like, as a GM, you have to have that mentality. Mm-hmm. You know who wasn't afraid to take chances? John Robinson.
Nope.
Now, ultimately,
it hurt him. Yeah.
And he's not a GM anymore, but he wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Barry Trotz, and maybe a little bit of the coaching aspect comes into play because he knows what he wants to coach. Andrew Brunette is going to be similar to him, a guy that played for him. And so he knows exactly what he's looking for, but he uses that term swing, taking a big swing. And I like that. And you know, there were times that David Poile wasn't afraid to take big swings. And, you know, now I think the same people that kind of chastise him of some of the moves, you know, those were swings. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I think that you're going to see not only this year, but in the years to come. Barry Trotz, he's not going to be afraid to swing for the fences and make this team better and ultimately get that goal of bringing a cup to Nashville.
Which I love to hear.
Sure.
You don't want to hear your general manager say, you know, we're just a little bit too worried to make some risky decisions, so we're just going to go out and we're going to get who falls in our lap. No! Whenever you have a team that is currently constructed like the Nashville Predators are, where, you know, they don't necessarily need to win right now, when the general manager is telling you, like, hey, we're probably not going to win right now.
Right.
I think that affords you some time and allows you to really evaluate where your team is at to get the right pieces in here to eventually build a cup contending team. The thing with taking swings, I love it. I love to hear it. It's also, you have to understand that with taking swings, yeah, that can mean like a trade that could bring your future center, your first line center for the future of the Nashville Predators. I mean, it could be a Herschel Walker-esque trade that it goes down in the history of hockey as one of the best trades of all time, and you win several cups because of it. But you also could get the other side of that as well.
Sure.
You have to understand that taking swings could also mean missing on a few of those.
Swing and a miss.
Sometimes you swing and a miss. I'm okay with that. As long as I can see the path, as long as I can see the plan, as long as I can see, you know, the thought process behind it, I can be okay with that. It's kind of how I feel about the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, if the Titans get D-Hop and it doesn't work out, like, yeah, that sucks.
They took a shot.
But they took a shot. They tried it when they needed to, and I can live with that. As long as I can see the thought process and it doesn't work out, I can live with that.
I'll
be okay with that.
They are trying.
They are trying. And I think Barry Trotz is being as transparent as possible throughout this process. We're going to try and find the best pieces that we can to make this team the best possible team that it can be. Mm-hmm. Anything is on the table. We'll pick up the phone about anything. We'll entertain any sort of offers. So as long as I can see that those kind of gears turning a little bit, I can live with it. I absolutely can live with it.
And I liked Jared's analogy yesterday or the day before when he said, you know, my house is not for sale, but if somebody calls me and offers me $2 million for my house, I'm moving out yesterday.
Anybody has a price.
And so that's the Soros part of this. Like, I don't think Soros is for sale. Elliot Friedman said the other day, you know, you weren't making the calls. They were calling you. But if somebody calls with the right offer, then – hey, Juice, it's been great, man.
Love
we'll miss you.
Yeah, love you dearly. I mean, enjoy LA.
It sounds.
Or wherever.
Yeah, or wherever. I mean, it. You know, it's tough. That's the business aspect. I mean, Derek, you know it. I mean, but sometimes that's what you got to do. And it hurts to part with it. I mean, I remember when Barry left, when Peter Laviolette took over, they traded Patrick Hornquist, who was a fan favorite, but they got James Neal. And James Neal was that upgrade of a player that they needed to make the turn to the next level, and he was a great player for this team for 3 years. You know, PK Subban, they traded Shea Weber to get PK Subban. That hurt, but it was the right move at the time. I think Barry Trotz is going to be willing to do those things.
And that's why I think it is so valuable hearing from him and him being so transparent and saying, I'm willing to take those swings, I'm willing to take those risks. I think he's got something up his sleeve.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
What do we think that is? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Building for the future while also building for the now. How tough is it to balance that? But is this also the draft and the landscape in the NHL where you can do that?
Well, I think when people talk about rebuilds, it's usually a team that's had their long run. They don't have a lot of prospects. They're starting from ground zero, and you're trying to build a winner. We're not in that place, like a full rebuild. We're also not probably in that place as just a retool. We're probably somewhere in between. And when I say that is we you know, our Milwaukee team this year went very deep, and some of the key players were basically four first-round picks. That the guys like Kemmel and a guy like Evangeliste and people like that were, and Askarov were really, really high contributors to the run that Milwaukee had. And they've already played a year in the minors, and you saw them come up and play in the National Hockey League. So their development is really, really strong. Now we're going to add, you know, to that group that we feel is starting to, you know, pop, as we say in the business.
That was Barry Trotz on our station earlier today. Caroline Willie DeMace is brought to you by the News End Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sportsbook app today. And Barry Trotz uses all of the words that I think that sometimes we hate to hear. Rebuild, reset, retool, whatever word you really want to use about what this team exactly is doing. I don't think they're rebuilding. I don't think they're tearing everything down. I think, you know, whatever word you want to use, at the essence, this team's number one goal is not winning a cup this year. This team's number one goal is winning a cup in the next couple of years, of developing the young talent that I think we all feel encouraged about, and then going from there. But how do you get from where they are now to where they want to be, which is ultimately a cup-contending team? Barry Trotz said it's taken some swings. It's taken some risks. Not being afraid to really, you know, step back and hit the home run. What does that mean exactly? Because I don't think Barry Trotz is just saying that just to say that because it sounds fun and it sounds nice. Barry Trotz has a little something up his sleeve.
Well,
what could
he's
that
conspiring?
Be yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. He's giving us breadcrumbs.
I can tell you what I hope it is. Not giving away sorrows. That's what I hope it is. Shoot.
Derek's I'm going to stay on that soapbox. Yep.
Absolutely. I'm going to stay on that soapbox because I see sorrows' career sort of like my career. Sort of you work your way up, and then once you get in there, you prove yourself. It's like, okay, I'm one of the best in the league, and then all of a sudden, they want to get rid of your ass. Don't like that. Don't like that. Don't like it one bit.
Is that speaking from experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're not over anything.
Absolutely.
You've been out of the league 12 years.
Yes.
And you're
absolutely
not over.
There's certain things you just don't get over.
No,
especially when it's just like things like this just triggers me.
I mean, look. You balled out in Baltimore because you were still pissed off that they had to cut you here.
Exactly, and I'm sure that's what UC Soros would do if indeed they trade him, which I don't think they will. He has something up his sleeve. I think he's optimistic of where this team is. I think he loved what he saw from this team, the fight from this team, the last part of the season, and I believe he understands that, you know, we got something special here, but we have to know how to sort of add to what we have and get these guys to all playing in the same direction. We want to have to change the way we play. And he even said, listen, we want to be faster. Mm-hmm. We want to be entertaining. We want to score more goals. So he understands what this team can potentially be, and I think he's excited about that. I'm sure if you just asked him how excited are you about this team, he can probably talk for about an hour.
You could ask him a question about anything, yeah, and he could talk for an hour.
I think he's really excited about this team and where they're headed and where they could potentially head. That's why he talks the way he talks about this team. He's excited about the new head coach, the coaching staff, and he sees something that I think his vision is a lot clearer than what ours is for this team, because we're still trying to figure out, well, where is this team going, what are they going to do? You know, they got all these draft picks, they have these prospects, and I think Barry just look at it so much clearer, and he sees what we possibly don't see in
he
this
should.
Team. Yeah, absolutely, he
yeah.
should.
I agree with you. I mean, I think too, it's like, you know, and I can relate to this a little bit of you guy that was the, you know, was a head coach, but you know, you're answering to somebody and you always had, it's like, even though you're coaching the team and he did it his way, you know, he saw how David would build things and David would build things the way that he wanted to build it. And now Barry can do it his way. Mm-hmm. And Barry, right. You know, it's like he can put his stamp on it. And so, like, when I took over as PD, it was like, okay, I liked a lot of the things we were doing. I'm going to add my, you know, my tweaks to it. And that's, you know, that's part of the reason we have Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. So, you know, so
I mean, that's kind of. And we love that.
And we love that, you know? So I think Barry Trotz is viewing it that way. He's taking advice. He's listening to people. He learned from David Poyle, Lou Lamoriello. I mean, and now he gets to put his stamp on things. And I think what is cool is going back to knowing what the plan is, the fan base is excited about that.
Yeah.
And so the fan base is going to give him – they are going to be patient. I mean, you know, I asked well before it was announced that Barry was coming in, you know, we talked about, hey, if they sell off at the deadline and they tank and they're not very good, are you still going to go to the games? And I think that the answer, you had the day ones, the A1 from day ones that were saying, yeah, we'll still be there. But then I think there were some that probably are like, yeah, probably we won't.
And that's to be expected.
But now I think it's different. Like, I still think you're going to see the big crowds, even though maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't. They're excited to see what this is going to look like.
And I think you're always going to have a group of people that either, one, go to the games because it's something fun to do and it's on Broadway, and two, people that really only care if they're good. And that's fine. You know, you're going to have your group of people like that and your certain groups of people in every single fan base. But I think that as long as everybody's on the same page, mm-hmm. that's right. what matters. I think before the trade deadline, it felt like there was that the fan base was on a completely different page than maybe the management was.
Yeah.
That the fan base was sitting there saying, look, we're okay with being intentionally bad. What we're not okay with doing is being bad when we're trying to be good.
Yeah. And I think something, too, that he did that I know was not easy for him. And, you know, maybe there are ways he could have done it a little differently that he'll learn from as he goes along. But unfortunately, I think he needed to make the move at coach mm-hmm. because that was where the fan base was still unsettled. And they had made their mind up.
Yeah.
And so not, you know, at the end of the day, you got to do what you think is best. But a ticket is a vote on how things work. And so the fans that go to the games, he ultimately made the decision that what's best for this team is for me to change the direction at the head coach to get somebody that, you know, I know that I'm gonna mesh with, that kind of speaks my language and knows my style. And he did that. And again, that was not an easy move for him to make. He's been on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that shows you right there, he's willing to make the tough decisions to make this team better.
And I think it was an important line of demarcation of, okay, this is Barry's team now.
Yep.
This is Barry's, and he's the, you know, the head sheriff in charge now. Let's get into some of your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Nick Texan says, do you see a Johansson buyout or a Duchesne trade happening? I don't think they're going to buy Johansson out. I would rather overpay for at least a little bit of production instead of overpaying for no production at all if you buy out Ryan Johansson's contract.
I agree with that. I think I wouldn't do it this year. I'm curious to see, in talking to Barry and hearing some things that he said, I kind of feel like he's curious to see how Johansson bounces back from the injury. You know, if he does kind of have that, you know, he's had time to reflect and he has that fire lit under him. Because we've seen when Johansson's on, he's on. You know, I mean, right. he can be a – I mean, I will, to the day I die, contend if he doesn't get hurt against Anaheim, there's a cup in the city that, you know, if he's available for that Pittsburgh series, I think they win the Stanley Cup. So that shows you what the impact that he has made. So I kind of want to see what the bounce back looks like for him. For Duchesne, I don't – with the salary cap in the spot that it's in – I don't think there's going to be a market for him.
Nobody wants an overpaid player who yeah. doesn't produce to the amount that you're paying for
That's him. Inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. That's incredibly inconsistent. If you have a potential buyer, go for it. By all means. I just don't yeah. know how many people are going to be lining up for an opportunity to get production from Matt Duchesne.
Nobody's. I don't think anybody's. Especially, well, Duchesne is probably a different situation. Johansson, I think he wants to see if Johansson, see how he's going to respond after injury. I mm-hmm. think he's going to challenge Johansson, and he has challenged him verbally to come back, you know, the best version of himself as possible. And he want to give him a shot to, you know, be in a rotation because they have guys that have proven they can play. So it's just not, It's not one of those deals where you're walking in and it's just automatically Johansson's the guy.
Right. Sure.
No, you have other guys that you got to fight through now. So you got to come in prepared and ready to go. Duchesne on the other hand, I mean, what can you do with him?
Yeah.
There's nothing you could, because no one else wants to pick it up.
Right.
So I would rather, you know, see what coach can get out of him at least this year. And history tells me, guys like this, when they have new coaching, if they buy into what's being preached, then you're going to see sort of a resurgence of them, because that new coach is going to give them every opportunity to prove that he belongs on his team. Mm-hmm. And I think Duchesne, I think this season, it's not going to be as good as two seasons ago.
Sure.
But I think it's going to be close. Mm-hmm.
Give me 2025 goals.
Uh-huh.
You do that, I'm happy. I mean, it's still, you're still overpaying him, but mm-hmm. I'll take that kind of production.
The bar is on the floor.
Yeah. The thing for me, and you were a consistent player in mm-hmm. the NFL, you know, in your career, especially when you were starting, you know, week in and week out. You were very consistent. But I also feel like you were the type of player that you want that balance of that coach that's going to let you have fun and mm-hmm. enjoy it, but he'll get into you when he needs to.
Exactly.
And I think Brunette said he wants players to enjoy the game of hockey, wants them to have fun and treat it as a game. Mm-hmm. But I also think he's the type of coach of, like, if he needs to get in their ass, he's going to get in their ass.
Absolutely.
And that's what Duchesne and Johansson both need. I think those are those types of players that they want to – play their game the way they want to play their game. They want to have fun. But if they need that kind of player or kind of coach that's going to, you know, give it to them when they need it, mm-hmm. then they'll take it. And so I feel like this marriage with Brunette and those two players in particular actually could work.
Yeah, it could. And it, as you're talking, I am thinking about, you know, Duchesne or Johansson. And, you know, this is no slight to David Poile, because obviously – David's resume speaks for itself, and he will be a Hall of Famer. But I think sometimes you can get sort of numb mm-hmm. to a voice, mm-hmm. or you just don't pay attention to it anymore. It's just like, yeah, whatever, and you just go about your business, especially in situations like this where you know your money's going to be there regardless, so it's just like, yeah, whatever. Not to say that they were doing that with David Poile, I'm just saying. But now you have someone that's a little bit more aggressive right. in that seat now. Now you start to think a little bit different. You know, it's not necessarily I'm scared. It's the respect factor. Not to say that they didn't have it for David Poile, but it's sure. different for Trotsky, because he's been there. He's been the coach. He's set on that bitch. He's won a Stanley Cup. So they possibly could look at him a little bit different, like, oh, I need to come in here and be ready.
And even though we know Barry,
yeah.
and Barry has the skins on the wall, it's still a new perspective.
Exactly.
It's still a fresh mind with fresh ideas mm-hmm. coming in and just giving a little bit of a, you know, breath of life.
But it seems like he's not going to take any crap. Like, he's not going to take none of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking it. No. Whatever was going on before me, I'm not. This is different.
Yeah.
I'm not taking
that. But you mentioned the key thing. Barry's got something that they don't.
Exactly.
He's got the cup.
Absolutely.
Chaser, really appreciate you hanging out with
yeah.
us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always thanks for adjusting.
Appreciate you. Always.
Yes.
You know, we're flexible. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your Predators thoughts and what Barry Trotz had to say with Chase on Chase and Michelle earlier today. But TD had some words about Malik Willis. And I think that we need to, as a program, establish how we are going to feel about this quarterback situation moving forward with the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Kind of looking at the quarterback development going on at OTAs and mandatory minicamp with the Tennessee Titans, a lot of what we've heard is, hey, Malik Willis actually looks pretty good. Will Levis making some mistakes. And we've cautioned people, hey, it's early. There's a lot of growth that needs to be done. When do you think is the fair point in time in the season where we can really start to evaluate these quarterbacks and start to judge these quarterbacks of what they can be, not just for the Titans this yeah. season, but moving forward as well?
Well, I do think it's fair, like, for the team to be able to evaluate the player somewhat, like, this time of year in the camp. You know, like, does he understand protections? Is he adjusting protections? Is the ball coming out on time in the passing game, whether it's 7-on-7 or team drills or third down situations? So I do think the team can start to get a sense of, yeah, he's getting it, you know, or he's understanding it better. Then I think you need to, you know, get into preseason games and say, all right, well, like, does he revert back to kind of just panicking in a passing situation and relying on trying to escape outside the pocket and run, or does he look comfortable in the passing game? I do think you can see, you know, you get a better sense, you know, in that than you do in practice.
That was Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, on our show earlier this week. And I think it's a fair question to ask because we've just wrapped up OTA, mini camp practices. We're a few weeks away from training camp. And I think that we just wrapped up the time of year of overreaction season. Of you see one clip of Will Levis at rookie camp, and he's in shorts with no pads, with no pass rush, and he completes a really nice pass to Josh Whiley, I believe it was, and everyone is freaking out, taking their pants off for Will Levis. And then you get to OTAs, and Will Levis, you know, he overshoots a target, and now all of a sudden, moving up in the second round for Will Levis was the biggest mistake that Rand Carthon ever could have made. But, and I think that's kind of the toxicity of it, of just analyzing one clip that you might see on Twitter, or a couple of articles that you might read coming out. TD put out an article on ESPN.com. It's a really insightful, really well-written article on ESPN.com about Malik Willis and his development and how Malik Willis has really grinded in the offseason, and you can start to see that come to fruition, the things that he's been working on, the things that he needed to work on, that he needed to improve, his confidence, his command of the huddle, kind of the intangible type of things, and then reading defenses, staying on scheme, not trying to just go off script and do his own thing, but really, you know, going through the plays as constructed. Those are all things that TD kind of breaks down of what he's seen from Malik Willis, what he's heard from coaches and players. Charles London, Chigakonkwo all talked about how Malik Willis just looks like a different player. How Malik Willis said, hey, I'm a year into this. Of course, I'm going to feel a lot more confident, a lot more comfortable with what I'm doing. So I think that we can be encouraged from what we've read about Malik Willis, what we've seen about Malik Willis at this time. But I want to, as a program, now Willie's not here, but Willie will just have to get on board later.
Yes.
As a program, decide when we think it is fair to really make these evaluations about these quarterbacks.
Well, we can't.
Can do his own evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, we can evaluate. We can sit here and, you know, be optimistic about how OTAs went. We can do that because, you know, if you come back after, if you come into your second year and say the first time you get together as a team, I don't see any progress as a head coach or position coach or even as a player and another player, I'm worried. I'm truly worried because you've went through a whole season, you know, a partial off season. You have the playbook. You know how this league is, how it operates. You know what you need to do in the off season, because in the exit interviews, the coaches have told you. And if you come back and I don't see some improvement, and I'm not talking about, you know, improvement from a physicality standpoint, I expect that to be there. If you are serious about your job, I expect to see the physical. Like, you shouldn't look like the same player you did in year one and year two from a physical standpoint. So put that aside. But from a mental aspect and how you prepare, if I don't see some type of change for the better, I'm worried in OTAs. It could be the smallest thing, but I'm worried if I don't see any of that. Well, we've seen that in Malik Willis, but that still doesn't mean that, oh, he's going to turn into a viable pro or pro, a guy that can, you know, be a backup or that could potentially start one day. That doesn't mean that, but it does mean that he's working, that he looked at his game, he assessed it, he listened constructively to what the coaches had to say, and he went and worked on those things. And it seemed like that's what Malik Willis has done.
Yeah.
Now, the real telltale sign will come once we get into camp.
Yeah.
People, not in the first couple of days of camp. First couple of days of camp, everybody's flying around. Everybody's full of energy. What they say, you know what, you're full of you know what in vinegar. So everybody's running around. It's like, yeah. So
when does that start to go away?
I don't know.
The camp magic. Because it has to go away at some point.
Oh, it does. But that's what I'm saying. Like, after the first few days, mm-hmm. you know, that camp magic is there. Everybody's like, oh, I'm so glad we're here. Let me see how that guy is in week two and week three. Is he getting better? Is he sort of implementing some of those things that we asked him to get better in?
Right.
Has he gotten better in those things? How does he look as a leader? I'm just talking about from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
How does he look as a leader? Does he command a huddle? How is he communicating the plays to the huddle? Is it seamless? Is it just, you know, you give me the play, boom, boom, and I'm, or am I hesitating a lot on my, hey, can you repeat that again?
Can't keep up.
Exactly. You can't keep up. If I see that he can, then okay, we got something here. And then you make your second phase of evaluation, game time or practice time with other teams. Because to me, you can get a sense of how a guy sort of is going to be against your own players. But after a while, you practice against them long enough, it's just like some days are going to be good, some days aren't, because you get to know one another. It is what it is. But when you have another team that comes in, how do you compete against that other team? Are you raising your level of as the level of competition raise, does how you view or does how you go out and play, does that raise as well? If it does, then we got something here. This young kid learned. He's progressing. He's doing the things that we wanted him to do, and now we're seeing it on the field. So it goes from the practice and then to the game. How do you command the huddle in a game? How do you show your leadership in a game? How do you keep everybody on an even keel during the game? How do you adjust when things are being thrown at you during the game? Because in preseason, there are a lot of, you know, the first game is sort of vanilla, but then the second game, teams tend to want to try out some things, you know, defensively or offensively. How do you react to those things? How do you, you know, if you get knocked down, how do you get back up? So we are not going to truly be able to evaluate Willis or Will Levis until they start playing. We can
preseason games?
Yeah, preseason games. We want you to have a good camp practicing. We want you to do that. But if you can do that but then can't translate that into a game, mm-hmm. you're just a practice player to me.
Right.
That's all you are.
And at this point in time, you know, in OTAs early uh-huh. in the offseason, I mean, Malik Willis should be looking a little bit more confident than
exactly.
Will Levis. He's been here longer. He's been working on this longer. He's got a year up on him. But mm-hmm. I agree with you. Preseason games.
Yes.
Can we see it translate to the field? Mm-hmm. Can we see it translate in an actual game setting? So we've decided, as a program, mm-hmm. full evaluations on the quarterbacks.
Yes.
We'll wait until the preseason.
Absolutely.
Okay, you heard it here first, people. We will wait until the preseason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your thoughts on that. But it is time for DeAndre Watch, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.